Blog Talk Radio.
Hotep, you have your priestess Omiinka 7, Zanu, here to serve you. I am your emperor, and I am your advisor, and I'm also the advocate you want. We'd like to welcome you here today. Thank you so very much for joining us on a Sunday. This is one of our rescheduled shows that we rescheduled from Friday. If you can remember, we were scheduled for Friday, but we had something to come up, so we had to make a quick change, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest will be with us this evening, Mrs. Kitten T's House of Beauty, the salon and boutique, ladies and gentlemen, right here in our own Midwest at 5917 State Lane Street in Hammond, Indiana. Kitten can be reached there from Mondays through Fridays, and I think on Saturdays she'll be able to give you more detail on that. Kitten is an outstanding citizen of the community who gives her time and attention to working at the schools doing African American history displays, and her work is on display right here in Hammond, Indiana, where she has compiled history to be a walking history book right here in Hammond for the young people to see. And she's here today to talk about that. Well, at least she's on her way in. I guess she's making it through the traffic. But she's going to be able to tell you exactly what her contributions are in the community and what it is that she does to make her queen's role so significant. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get your dial locked in at 646-478-0270. Why don't you lock it in, Lil G, and keep it right there. Keep it right there. We're going to give you a chance to get this thing together. I'm going to give you a drum roll for keeping it right there. All right now, keep that down right there, 646-478-0270. As we go do a little house cleaning, we'll be right back at you. Stay tuned. Drum roll, take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to being here in the Care to Read Room. We're all about books, and I'm sure you know that. And we are going to keep pushing these books until somebody gets the message that whenever you want to hide something, the safest place to hide it is in the book. I'm standing right now with my lab jacket on and my astute hat, and I'm holding on to a book called The Education of the Negroes and the Miseducation of the Negroes by Carter G. Woodson. He is the founder of African American History Month, Black African American History Month, I might add. And we have been featuring this book, talking about the chapters in it, The Education of the Urban Negro. Now, what's an urban Negro? Carter G. Woodson found how to identify the various different Africans in our race, the Negro, the urban Negro. Now, there are books that's even written about the urban setting. What's that all about? Some brothers and sisters just break it down and say the hood. But when we want to be more politically correct, we say the urban setting, the lower socioeconomic people, the people that were the Rodney King group. So all of those represent lower socioeconomic, low standards. What are low standards, ladies and gentlemen? When we know that the first form of welfare was produced over in Europe, right there in Paris, the prince and the king and queen couldn't stand it any longer. All of these people begging outside their window. So they created welfare. The welfare was created to get them off their back. So it wasn't the blacks that first had to use welfare. The larger population of Caucasian are on welfare. And it was invented in Europe for them. So when we say lower socioeconomic people, we cannot predicate it just to the African-American. We must remember that there are all types of people that are lower socioeconomic people. However, we're the lowest people on totem pole for higher academic education. And one of the things that Project 2019 wants to do is to close that gap and to bring more people in who have credentials, who are getting higher level education. And why does OMI preach so much on that? I don't think just because you have a credential it makes you any better than anyone else, but it sure opens some doors for you. And we never stop educating ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. I continue to educate myself and go beyond the call of duty to get those credentials I need in order to get into higher academias. One day I want to be a professorette. Say it with me, professorette, professorette. So Mrs. Omi Inka wants to be a professorette. Absolutely. That was my desire when I started this thing called institution. When I signed up for this, I said, I want to go all the way and be a professorette and be able to put on my little black or green or blue lab coat. And I'm not talking about messing with rats and doing research. I wanted to put that lab coat on and step up with my astute hat on and say, now ask me a question, because professorette is in the house. I think that's something that we can look forward to. Education. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, but we don't want to be miseducated. We want to have common sense and use information to rightfully divide the word of truth. Just as I told you that Fred Price once said, everything in the Bible is rightly stated, but not everything in the Bible is rightly true. So we have to understand that when we get knowledge, it helps us to rightfully divide the word of knowledge. Now, let us get ready to go over to the throne of grace and to lift up our ancestors. It's rightfully guided and knowledgeable for us to acknowledge that we stand on somebody's back. We're not our own. We can't do this thing on our own. And so we do this every day to break the monotonous and to create a ritual so that you're reminded that nothing in your own strength can you do alone, that everything you do, it takes an assistant from a higher force. So as we call on the higher forces to be, on our higher self, Ola Dulamare, O Romola, our eldest brother, and then we call on Ori, who lives with us, our personal God inside of us. Yes, I see some students out there who still remember who Ori is. And I hope you remember the story about Oduluwa, and maybe one day we'll bring that creation story back. But in the meantime, people, we must remember we are not our own. We've been bought with a price, and we have a debt to pay back. So therefore, we acknowledge that debt by sending our signatures out on the water. And one day I'll get to meet with you, ladies and gentlemen. And when March comes around, our African New Year, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I'm going to invite you here to our Midwest area, preferably Chicago, and or either go out to the Hidden Lake here in Indiana. And we're going to throw our signatures out on the water in a form of a piece of fruit, flowers, or what have you, with names on it. And we're going to send names out on the water to beckon those ancestors to assist us and to stay around us and to guide us. We cannot do this on our own. We need shoulders to stand on. And believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, you and I have been standing on shoulders for a long, long time. Nothing we do is in our own strength. So let's go over to the throne of grace and let's petition our ancestors to allow us to stand on their shoulders. We don't worship them. We pay homage. Let's pay homage to our greater selves. I need to purify myself. Pardon me. As I purify myself with the water, is purification complete? And do I have permission to speak, elders? Give me a nod or something. Let me know it's okay that I have been properly orientated to be able to speak. Thank you. I have been properly cleansed now, and I would like to pour libations to Ola Dulamare, and I say Ashe. Ashe, you can help me by saying Ashe. I pour libations to also to Akamare, and I say Ashe, Ashe. I like to pour libations to Obatala, my father's spirit, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to my mother's spirit, Yamanja, and I say Ashe, Ashe. I like to light this candle for my father's spirit, that he may have light to come down through the tunnel to find his way. Obatala light. Ashe. I light this candle for Yamanja, that she may have light to find her way back to the greater circle and the scheme of things. I say Ashe, Mother. Libations to the east. Libation. Ashe. Libations to the west, I say, I say. Libations to the south. Libations to the north. Libations to the east. And finally, libations to the west. Ladies and gentlemen, you are standing on holy ground. The grounds that you are standing on, take your shoes off. You are now on holy ground. This area has been hollowed out as sacred ground, as holy ground. It is my prayer that we learn to meditate, that more of what we receive from God is through God speaking through us, not us always petitioning God. Let us practice meditation today. In our silence, we can hear from God. And as we begin to find our mantra, finding your mantra, your one word of power, using that one word of power to meditate on and to recall all that has been great and that has been good in your life, asking God for nothing but allowing this behavior modification to work for you as God begins to minister to you and to speak to your higher and your greatest self. And as you begin to leave that basement floor lifestyle and to petition God to live in the many mansions that He's prepared for you, as you begin to meditate on that word of mantra, your higher self will come forward. And as your higher self comes forward, those things that you meditate on will come to you quickly. Those things that you desire, the currency will be running through your life. Just as the water in this currency, and we send the names out on the water, the currency will flow in your life, and it will continue to flow like alchemy, as we call alchemy chemistry into us. And as we control the process of chemistry, we can call energy back to us. Our frequencies are controlled, and alchemy becomes currency and becomes filthy lucre. We yet can control that filthy lucre and call every dime of it back to us, and we can become chemists. Just as in chemistry, we learn to control the atmosphere of all of the elements. As we begin to meditate, we silence ourselves, and in our silence, we hear from our greater self and from the Creator. Now meditate on one word with me, on the word of God. Your word of power can be a different word. Find your mantra and start using your mantra and spending time meditating on the word. It is just as good for you to use a behavior modification for meditation as it is for prayer. Meditation is even more powerful because you can take in with you into your meditation your emblems, and your emblems can signify certain energies that are brought to you, using those energies to perfect yourself and to allow yourself to be perfected. Africans are always perfecting. Remember that the word no more in the African race, no more, and always perfecting as the doggone people perfected. They perfected in their lives and mastered things that they control. We are the controllers of this earth. Not only do we control the matter in this earth, but we control the frequency. So raise your frequency levels up, so that your frequency levels are vibrating. And be careful of those vampires that may come to steal your anointing, pointing, trying to steal your vapor, trying to steal your frequencies. When they come to you, know who you're releasing your frequencies to. Do not let the vampire snipe and rob you of your frequency. You are the vibrating entity that God left here on this universe. He breathed the breath of life in you and gave you His energy. Now you can vibrate at a higher frequency, healing yourself and causing others to tap in to your frequency and become a healer as well. As we send energy across the airway, those that are in need of a healing or a higher level frequency, tap into the energy. The energies are here for you. And we send the energies across this airway. And we say that you have been relief. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we might have to give our friend a call. I'm just wondering if we gave her that number. So we want to make sure we did that. We want to make sure we did that. And we're just going to put you on hold for. And we're going to give you some music. Hold tight, people.
Every day, from the moment I wake, there are thoughts that stay on my mind. Is there really a way to keep faith?
Oh,
Yes, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is our ancestral song. It looks like Kitty may be locked outside of the room. I did try to phone her, and I don't see any heads or tails of what's going on. She might be locked out of the room. Nevertheless, we're going to go on with the show. And as I told you, we were going to be talking about the responsibility of queens in their neighborhood. And one of the responsibilities that Mrs. Kitten and I did talk about was the fact that we are the educators of the world, and it is our responsibility to educate the world about African traditional history. And we talked about the necessity for us as queens to go into our communities and to display our history and make some corrections of our history. And just as Carter G. Woodson wanted to do by recreating the miseducation of the Negroes, he wanted this book to be required reading for most African Americans who were tutelage in college getting their professorette. So this book became a hot seller, and it still is a hot seller, even after many years of it being in print. And we talked about the religion without letters, and I discussed this book with you and how pertinent it is for parents for you to get this book, take it into your institutions, call high school, preferably for a high school level, and introduce this book to your principal and explain to your principal why it's necessary that your children should have this as required reading, and try to get it in the curriculum department and get it as required reading. Because the education of the Negroes is just as important as the miseducation of the Negro. And as I was telling you earlier, we have become miseducated about what religion is supposed to do for us in our African-American communities. Some of us become so overwhelmed with religion that it's like somebody is going to make us holier than thou, that we have become overwhelmed with what religions can do for us in our community. In reality, we have to make sure that we're not being miseducated with religion. And the miseducation can do more harm than the so-called uneducation. As a school teacher, I have to be very careful of what I teach and not to pass on biases. And as a master teacher and training other teachers and modeling for them, I have to make sure that I am not passing my biases on to them by making them become biased and prejudiced about a certain concept or pedagogical philosophy. I must allow those students to form their own philosophies and become politically correct within their own structure of their framework of their mind. And we can do a lot of harm with partiality by showing impartiality to people is what we want to do, be neutral. And when you're teaching younger children, it's very easy to role model and pass on your biases. So what are prejudices? What are prejudices? Does anyone know? Raise your hand. You can raise both hands if you want. I see you out there. I've always told my children to consider judging and testing themselves to see if they're showing partiality. If they're judging somebody before the fact, prejudging someone before the fact. Now, elders, if you're out there and you want to come in and help us out, you can come in. That number is 646-478-0702, and come in and petition us and come onto the chat room if you like. One of the things we want to understand is that we understand what prejudice means. And how do you become prejudiced? And as I said, it's prejudging somebody before the fact and having the power and authority to force your opinion upon someone and make them accept it as their own. First, defining a thing. The power is the ability to define a thing and to make others accept it as their own. And that also is the definition of prejudging someone before the fact is prejudice. Now, if you have the power to inflict your philosophy on somebody and then inflicting it on them and making them accept it as their own, then you can become biased and you can become prejudiced, judging someone before the fact. So we go into the communities as queens and we make sure that our children are dealt with squarely, and we make sure they understand what biases are and what prejudices are. A lot of our children don't understand when they're being biased. Someone is showing biased behavior towards them or racist behavior. They don't understand, and they don't even know when they're being discriminated against. So what must children and young people do when they are discriminated in the community? They first must come and tell their mothers. And their mothers must take great interest in what they're saying. And they must lay down documentation and let the child know that we're looking for persistency. If something persists, this can't be a one-time, one-shot deal thing. It has to be something that you notice that has been going on with the child for a while. But if it's one of those astute things that happen, you might want to put it in your notes, and you might want to save it for conference time, or if it can't wait till conference time, you might want to go into the superintendent's office and ask that you get an audience with the superintendent or the principal. And you must follow chain of command, because they're going to ask you, did you go to the principal? And did the principal have a meeting with you and the teacher? Then you have to try to resolve it at a lower level. Sometimes children can overreact, and sometimes teachers can overreact too. But priest's job is to go in the community and to uphold the teachings of their African forefathers by presenting to the community and to the school system, to re-educate the school system about putting the education and the history of the African American back into the history books. Sometimes their story has been left out, and all you have is his story. And as a history teacher for at least 3 years, they wanted to make me into a history teacher. However, I felt that my strengths were in science. But nevertheless, I took on the job of being the African-American history teacher and making sure that the parents knew it was important that their children knew the customs and traditions of their cloth. So we brought the cloth into the schools and taught all the children about the various different cloths and how each one of the various different designs of cloth was connected to various different tribes of Africans, and how each one of the cloths indicated and also showed whether or not there was royalty or regal or large sums of money in that particular tribe. Then we went on to teach about the various different hair braiding and the various different reasons for wrapping the head in gele. And I was hoping that Mrs. Kitten was going to be able to talk about geles today, so I'll just fill in for her a little bit. Mrs. Kitten and I strongly believe that the woman's head should be covered, not necessarily with a head wrap, but covered with someone of a guardian, of a person that can be a male that could cover the head, or she can wear a gele of some sort. A gele can be elegantly gathered together and wrapped and draped across the head to match the actual garment that they're wearing to signify a queen who actually carries authority of ministering and being a minister for the community. Something like I would be called, a minister of the community, someone that carries the legacy and the traditions of libation. I oftentimes get invited out to do the MC and an opening orator of teaching the rituals. And every time we do something, and every time someone comes home from prison, there must be a ritual done to welcome that significant other back into the fold. We must burn off whatever insignificant negative vibes that they may be bringing back to the tribe. We must do a ritual to relieve them of that, so that that particular bad stench does not go on prevailing throughout the community, subjugating someone else to be held captive. It's very important that I should do libation, and before libation, that I should sanctify myself and purify myself. That is a form of a ritual too. And it's very important that when the new year comes in March 21st, 22nd, 23rd, that we do a ritual welcoming in the new year. It's very important that you should understand that rituals are done before you go out to war. If you're getting ready to fight a mental war, there must be a ritual done to ask God to bless you and give you favor and give you success and give you strength so that you can subdue that war. It's very important when you go off to do business in the courtyard as a political figure, you must do rituals. There are professionals that understand the benefit of rituals. And one of the reasons that I started this class was to teach you African-American how powerful your rituals are and how powerful they make you. When you appear to not have any strength or any authority, know this, Africans, you have authority in your rituals. Your rituals are very powerful. And yet to this day, other races of people seek out your rituals, and so do the Caucasians. And they practice your rituals even more so than you do. And some of them they know customarily by heart. It's not so important that you should be caught praying all the time as it is that you should know your rituals. You should know that salt purifies things. Salt cleanses things. So whenever you're trying to break off a curse or discontinue a curse, you want to put salt in it. Because salt is something not only used for trampling over, it's used for breaking curses as well. You must understand that Africans look at the moon, and the moon has been placed there to give us indication of when is the proper time to perform rituals. Rituals are very important amongst the African tribes. The African tribes did not pierce your ear unless there was a full moon. My ears were not pierced until there was a full moon, which they could consult the moon to make sure that there would not be any lumps in my ear, there would not be any side effects. Some of you might remember your mothers had your ears pierced only when there was a full moon. And there was salt used to savor the ear so that the ear could become numb, so that we didn't have sedatives and have to go in and have someone shock us with a needle without preparing it through the full moon. Now, I can't begin to pretend that I can teach you all about the rituals, but you must understand that it's not so important that you always do a behavior modification, yelling out and praying and begging God and praying the loudest prayer to see who's the most holiest. It's very important that sometimes you should be still and use a meditation, because that is a form of behavior modification too. And in using that meditation, it may be more powerful that God speaks to you than you speaking to him. Sometimes you don't even know what to pray for. But the Holy Spirit makes intercession through moans and groans for what you don't know what to pray for. They will fill in the gap. Just as I told you, we're only able to do 70%, and we're not perfect, but we know God will pick up the 30%, which will give us the ability to appear as if we are doing 100%. But we do nothing in our own strength. Rituals are very important for our Africans, and we must lean on those rituals. We must understand that as I talk to you today about Gele, and wrapping your head is very important when you go out during the African month season. Wrap your head, put beautiful enchanted jewels and drape things around the Gele to draw attention to your crown. Your crown is where your intellect lies, and your intellect is lying there so that you can protect your intellect. That is where your issues of life come out of. And you must understand one thing. We must study to know ourselves. Just as a macro cosmic universe is the larger force and the micro is the smaller force. We study ourselves through looking at nature. We learn ourselves through nature. And as we learn ourselves, we learn about nature. And that gives us an attachment to all the beings and animals and nature. And we begin to learn the greater force that God created in the universe. And we learn ourselves. And as we learn ourselves, we learn the universe. And whereas you don't know yourself, then you have no attachment to the universe. Remember the macro and the microcosmic. They're both connected. One is greater than the other one, but we must understand we exemplify the micro universe in our being. Our whole lives are example of what the universe is, and through knowing our life and through studying the universe, we study ourselves. So let us learn to study ourselves and understand that these rituals are beneficial to all of us. They help us to become stronger. They also allow us to break curses. And I'm talking about those of us who know that there's curses upon us, because the Bible said there would be curses upon us. And we should know that. And if you know there are curses upon you, then ought not you be ready to break some of those curses? You're living up under the curse right now. You're up under the curse of the law, the letter of the law. In order to break those curses, you must continue to do rituals to break them. Am I a hoodoo woman? I like to think so. A hoodoo woman is not a voodoo woman. A hoodoo woman breaks curses. and dissolve curses. And a hoodoo person is a spiritualist who knows how to make you well and heal you. And it's very important that you understand that there's curses upon your life. You must practice hoodoo to break those curses. Now, I'm not talking anything that is antichrist. I'm talking what some of your preachers have to do, perform exorcists on people who are prone to curses and who have lived with curses in their life. And how can you tell? And when will you know if you're under a curse? And what must you do? And who can you go and see? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We will come back at you to tell you a little bit about how do you know your family's been cursed. Because the letter of the law said you would be cursed. And you should know that there's curses we're living up under right now. And the letter of the law will kill it. It's a curse. So you must take and understand that you got to break these curses. And they're not always done through begging God and petitioning God. But you must do rituals to curse those curses that would be cursed in your family. Some people are cursed down to the 1,000th generation for not loving God. And then there's children are cursed. Even in their loins, they're cursed. There was a curse done through Ham where his children weren't even born yet. They said, cursed be Canaan, which was not even born yet. But the curse came down through Ham, through his children that was born Canaanite. And the curse came in the form of leprosy. And for those of you who are thinking it's great to be pale and white, leprosy was once a curse. And you were cursed through being pale and white and leprosy when a curse was passed down to you. So these curses are written in the Bible. They're nothing new for a lot of you. You know about these curses. So rituals must be done on a day-to-day basis to make you healthy, to make sure that you're breaking down the walls that could present and prevail itself against you. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Black History Month. Don't wait till Black History Month to find out about your heritage. Start studying yourself. Start knowing yourself. I profess to be one thing only, and that is an African spiritualist. I don't take on religion of anyone right now. I'm studying myself. Even the Yoruba religion is a way of life, a custom, not necessarily a religion. So I'm telling you that you must become a spiritualist, because spiritually walking in God's grace means that you are not temporal. You are infinite. Things that are material are temporal. They're fading. They're not lasting. A spiritualist, things are lasting, and they're concrete. So when you take on the spiritual things, you become concrete in all that you do. And you will begin to see that it's necessary for every family to do rituals to break the curses in their families. Their family curses that come down through generations of alcoholism that stay in the family. Incest. There are all types of curses that need to be broken. Right now, as I'm on this radio, there are curses amongst you that you need broken, that you might need to come in this room to talk to me about. How do I get rid of this curse that has come down through generations of welfare, of my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, all of us having a spirit of welfare, a poor mentality? Those curses need to be broken too. And we're going to get into those things on Monday, ladies and gentlemen. So why don't you join us on Monday as we come back here to talk about how to break those curses, what we must do to know when we're under a curse. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you know that. It's very important that you know that. Thank you so much.